What's going on, everybody? My name is Eddie Greer III, and welcome into another episode of the EG3 Show, where it is the latest in the world of NASCAR, Kimmel World Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. And you know what this music is. It is the reaction episode of the Daytona 500. And plus, not only that, let's take a look back at Saturday's unbelievable finish in the Xfinity Series. Down to the wire. Quadruple zeros on the finish between teammates. We'll dive into that as well. The finish yesterday. I know it's the morning after the Daytona 500, but a lot to get to. And yes, there are, and rightfully so, a lot of unhappy, pissed off people concerning about the finish of the Daytona 500 and how it went down. That includes myself included. We're going to get into that right now. The Daytona 500 was something else. And for the second consecutive year, a driver winning the 500 leads it on the final lap. Austin Dillon taking the three car back to victory lane in all sorts of anniversaries. Of course, 20 years to yesterday. Dale Earnhardt Sr. almost said Jr. there for a minute. Hold up. Dale Earnhardt Sr.'s monumental win in his 20 years of trying, finally winning the 500 as well. But Austin Dillon did not do it the senior way, if you will. I know he has ties with Richard Childress, the grandfather, and also his brother Ty Dillon, but that finish yesterday and how that went down, my goodness, and having to tear up another race car. We've already saw plenty of torn up race cars throughout Speed Weeks, including yesterday's wild Daytona 500. I mean, last year was a different story with all the stages in the introduction of the stages and how that played out. We didn't see any wrecking, at least coming to the green, to the white, during those stages last year. I mean, we saw a lot of craziness, though. Odd situations with teammates wrecking in front of each other, with uncontrollable tire situations, and things like that. Here, in this instance, the stage race, including the first stage, ended in a big wreck, taking out contenders, and then the second wreck, a violent wreck, with all this blocking, Chase Elliott, one of the favorites, and then the favorite of them all, Keselowski, gets involved, trying to come from the back of the field, basically shotgun from the back of the field, and gets caught up in it. And then we turn around and have the third wreck of the night, or as I should say, early in the evening, as this race started mid-afternoon and ended pretty much under the lights, as Austin Dillon, pretty much what he did in the 600 last year, coming up big in the winning moments of the race, like he did a year ago in the Coca-Cola 600. His name, it might as well be the fourth quarter guy, because Austin Dillon, you know, with the help of Justin Alexander, crew chief, got the job done. I know I'm all over the place to start off, but give it a minute. Justin Alexander's crew chief at the time, last year, was his first race, and told Austin Dillon to stay out. We're going to ride it out on fuel. Took down Kyle Busch and Martin Truex Jr. for his first ever Monster Energy Series Cup win. That was big for him. And yesterday, to me, it seemed a little different than that. Yes, Austin Dillon did win the Daytona 500. Yes, I'm not going to try to cut that short, but you got to look at what he did on the racetrack to do it. Taking out Eric Almirola to do so. I mean, I was looking forward to another one of those fantastic finishes, what we saw over the weekend with the Xfinity series. It couldn't be like that. It had to be somebody else taking out somebody who was leading Eric Amarillo in his first ever race with Stuart Haas Racing officially. And Amarillo was a factor in the second half of this race. Kudos to Eric Amarillo and the classy act, classy man that he is. Stay classy, Eric. And he could have said more worse things than that, but he was pretty much, in his own words, heartbroken. He was a lap, really, a turn, I mean, two turns away from winning Daytona 500. He said, "I was a lap away from winning Daytona 500. Man, I felt sick for Eric Amarillo in the way that he got taken out by Austin Dillon. Yeah, he got a run, but it looked like to me, plain on truth, this is truth. This is the way I saw it. Pretty much millions of all the race guy, race fans out there saw this too. And I know like the three fans are pretty pumped up. But hey, Dale Earnhardt Sr. 20 years ago didn't wreck Bobby Labonte to win his first Daytona 500. He didn't do that. Yes, at that point, Sr. was leading, trying to hold off that pack of wolves behind him to do so. He didn't have to move Bobby Labonte. I know the Intimidator in the way that he drove, you know, intimidating guys, moving people out of the way. But on that particular day, he was out front and determined. He was very, very hungry, opportunistic to finally grasp his 500 dreams. And he did it that day. Turn around to the present. You know, Austin Dillon had to turn around Eric Amarillo to do that. I mean, there was another option to do that. Let's don't say there was no other option, because there was. Because you saw the Xfinity Series race the day of the 500, where teammates battled out side by side, and for all it's worth, Sadler could have moved Tyler Reck out of the way, or could have wrecked him to finally get his Daytona win, but that didn't happen. And Sadler, again, was heartbroken. We'll touch on more on this later on, but that's my point. What I'm saying is that was a better way to do that. And a lot of, at least of what I've read yesterday, including myself, I tweeted out a tweet saying that for some reason, I'm trying to be biased, but for some reason, I just ain't the biggest fan of Austin Dillon. For whatever reason, he just gives the wrong vibe to me, or something like that. I'm just trying to be nice. That's the nicest way I can be possible right now before throwing out any cuss words or anything like that. But, man, that was just bad. Bad way to end the finish to the Daytona 500. Everybody says it's going to be a great race and whatnot. But the finish, that could have been a better way to celebrate at least. Now, if Dillon would have side-drafted Amarillo or beat him to the line or made a move to pass him cleanly, do that. If this was a short track, yes, I'm probably with you on that. If this was Martinsville, Bristol, moving people that way, I would accept that a little bit more. But this is a restricted plate, and Amarillo could have been seriously been hurt. A lot of guys could have been hurt yesterday. Daniel Suarez taking a big hit in the first big one. Chase Elliott, a hard impact, trying to block, hold off Keselowski's run during stage two. That didn't work out very well. And Chase Elliott, again, has to learn the hard way before. And yet again, he's not had a good car, and yet in the infield care center. But when I'm trying to get this finish, you know, Amarillo could have been seriously hurt. I mean, you're going that fast, and luckily he didn't get tagged by another car. I mean, those drivers were still moving pretty quickly past him while Amarillo was spinning out of control all the way down to the infield grass off of turn three. But that could have been much worse. And Amarillo, he's coming off an injury from last year. Let's not now forget, I saw this in person last year in Kansas City, where Amarillo was kind of a non-bystander between Logano and Patrick. And Amarillo hit the wall hard, and he was taken to the hospital, and obviously we know what happened to him. He broke a few bones in the vertebrae, and I can only think back to that in that particular time last night. the way that, and everybody on Fox focused on the celebration for a good while, no doubt. I was listening to something, a little commentary last night as well. It was not on Fox, it was on YouTube, and I'm not going to name his name right now, maybe later on down the line, but I really like what he had to say about most of the stuff he was saying. I agree with what he was talking about, and he had an interesting perspective about plate racing. That might be another topic here for another time down the road, maybe when we get to Talladega here in a few months, but we saw a lot of yet another plate race, and yet you get this. I don't know why it's hard for people to expect. You're going to get with this type of racing now, especially with points on the line. You saw in stage one, people driving out of their heads to get points, and we saw the big one ensue there. And then even in stage two, we're getting close to the end, and we see young guys blocking like crazy. Like, this is the last lap of the 500 or last lap of the national championship game. Whatever you want to put it. But now, all of a sudden, with this new youth movement moving up, you're seeing these young guys, Chase Elliott, Ryan Blaney, Alex Bowman's up front. They're making some dangerous moves out here on the racetrack, and you're thinking, is this what it's going to take now? I mean, last year, we don't have to go that far. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the EG3 Show. My name is Eddie Greer III, bringing you the Daytona 500 recap. This is the morning. I'm recording this the morning after another topsy-turvy 500 in the finish that, for some reason, I didn't enjoy the finish of this race last night. Austin Dillon putting a three-car back in Daytona victory lane circle, but not without a price, taking out Almirola to do that. There was another way to do that. Now, if Dillon would have, again, like I said, if Dillon would have passed Almirola cleanly, he had a run on him to begin with, but instead, he stayed on Eric Almirola's ass, pretty much. Sorry, excuse me for my language, but there might be a couple thrown out here, just to forewarn you. But hey, let's all be real here, folks. He was on his ass, and then getting that run, he just, instead of diving down in the inside, he had Almirola dead to rights. Instead, Dillon stays on Almirola, and then pretty much, we all saw on television, he just pretty much stayed in the gas, whoop, Almirola to the fence, and luckily no one else got collected in that one car accident, and Dillon goes on to win and does his little stupid dab, which is so 2015, so Cam Newton, that needs to go. I said this last year about the dabbing. I know that's his little signature move with Cam Newton, stealing that from him, but that was so 2 years ago. That, for me, that needs to go. I'm sorry, that needs to go, and sorry, I'm speaking from, you know, being a Falcon fan, but that needs to go. I'm sorry, bruh. The dab needs to go. But you know, the cameras were focused so much on Dillon, and I know, you know, Mike Joy tried to bring back his famous call from 20 years ago, but I don't think that's really, to be honest, I don't think that was really necessary. I think Mike Joy could have come up with something else a little bit more creative in the new age of racing instead of bringing back that backup. I mean, Austin Dillon is no Dale Earnhardt Sr. Let's get that straight right now. This is his second win, and it comes late in the fourth quarter. And I'm going to call him Mr. Fourth Quarter because of the fact that Austin Dillon was a lap down in this race. And somehow, some way, you know, with the caution with William Byron, William Byron's caution changed complexion of this race, no doubt. You know, Byron had his adventures all afternoon long in his first ever Daytona 500. That caution right there, Blaney was sitting in the catbird seat, and so was Truex at the time, and Kurt Busch, the defending winner. Now that is Austin Dillon's reign now. But that caution right there set up everything. And Ryan Blaney, oh, by the way, he was outstanding in the Speed Weeks. Unfortunately for him, he couldn't close the deal, and he tried to make too many bold moves, but it was late in the race, and he had to try to protect. But I have a new nickname for Mr. Ryan Blaney, EG3 man. Get to that here momentarily, but all in all, nobody checked in on Almirola for a good 10 to 15 minutes for the Fox broadcast, and that's pretty sad. If you ask me, you know, everyone's focused on Austin Dillon and for a good while, and the team celebration, and everybody was just hooping and hollering about everyone's pumped up. I know the three car and what it means to NASCAR, especially when we get to Daytona. Everybody knows that. And for the new NASCAR fan who was tuning in yesterday, they probably didn't understand it as much as a lot of us do. You know, Dale Sr., the success that he has, the also close moments to win this jewel race, and finally did it. Just finally do it was a day in NASCAR, and one of the days in NASCAR we'll never forget. But when you turn around, flip it back to the present, Austin Dillon should have, you know. Oh, man, it's hard. It's really hard to get out of these emotions. But I tell you, there was a better way. There was another way to pass Almirola. He said he admitted it. Dillon admitted it. I know the pro race, they both say, you know, it is what it is. It's plate racing, you know. You live by the sword, die by the sword. You know, it is what it is. But there was another option for Austin Dillon to make that move, and he had to move, he had to run, and he was piloting it to get by Almirola and get in front of him, and we're going to have a right down the wire finish, but it had to be the dirty way, and to take out Almirola, and we're sitting now with a new Daytona 500 champion, and oh, by the way, yes, it's very early, but yes, Dillon cashes his Daytona 500 victory to the playoffs, where he's been pretty vocal. Let's not be lying here. He's been very vocal. Let's be honest about that. About being in the championship for this year, and he wants all that pressure to be on him. He thrives on pressure and whatnot. Well, he's got his one win out of the way, that's for sure. And they want to be stellar. But let's just focus on the after effects. I mean, no, he's going to be representing NASCAR this weekend, promoting the sport and all that. Yes, that's good for that aspect of it, but let's look back, let's go a little bit forward a little bit to next week, to this week, Atlanta. We'll see how this team performs. They actually ran good last year in Atlanta until they had a little problem late that cost them. But let's see, go down the line here, Atlanta, Las Vegas, this West Coast trip coming up here very soon, and how this team, we're really going to find out about this team here in the next few weeks, because the last time they won a big event, the 600, they're nowhere to be found at pretty much at all the rest of the season, including the postseason last year. They were nowhere to be found. That just complete honesty, in my opinion. After that win, they really struggled out of the gate, and they brought in, I've talked about on this podcast, focusing on RCR, they brought in Andy Petrie, and all three of those cars, and this includes Bubba Wallace, who had an outstanding night last night, get to him in a few minutes, but bringing Andy Petrie, bringing back that winning feeling, that combination of, hey, we can go out here and be competitive. Ryan Newman was up there, up in the top 10 most of the evening as well, especially in the second half of that race, paying attention to him. So they got something going on right now, but especially in no Daytona 500, that's a different animal. You look now, fast forward a little bit to this week in Atlanta now. In Atlanta, this is going to be the last, and oh, by the way, this is going to be, I believe, the last race that we're going to see this old pavement before they repave it, I believe. So this is like a Darlington-ish racetrack now that you have to rely on pretty much long speed and saving your tires the best. Austin Dillon, they had a great race up there, and I believe Ryan Newman did as well. But we're going to look two, three, four, 5 weeks now from now and see how this team really stacks up with the competition, especially with their new Chevy Nose, a Camaro last night. It was good seeing that they were competitive for sure last night and yesterday afternoon. We'll see how this RCR can feed this momentum. I mean, going back to Kurt Busch last year, Kurt won the 500 in the last lap. I mentioned at the top of the podcast that this is the second year in a row that we've seen the winner of the 500 has made a last lap pass to win the 500 or to hold off somebody for the 500 like Kurt Busch did last year to Ryan Blaney. Austin Dillon pretty much made his bed by wanting to take out Almirola, and in succession he did that, and that's what it was. So Austin Dillon, the winner of the Daytona 500, the 500 champ. So we'll pay attention to RCR here the next few weeks and see how that went progresses, because the 41, they really struggled until late summertime after the 500. So it seems to me like kind of like the Super Bowl hangover when a team loses and has struggled the next year. It's the exact opposite, but it's during the same year as winning the 500. You win the 500, oh, you have this momentum, but no, you struggle coming out of the box the next few weeks. So let's pay attention to that and see if, you know, Austin Dillon with all his high expectations of, hey, we got to be in the part of that championship four, or this season is pretty much a garbage season. But hey, it's a great start for you, right, man? You won the 500. Hey, I'm gonna climb high right now. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, definitely everyone right now is kind of hot. At least as far as I've seen so far and listened to, and far as my friends are concerned, at least most of them, they're not happy with this finish of the 500. You're to the EG3 show. Eddie Greer III here. Yes, a lot to get to here on the EG3 show with this reaction podcast. And before we take our first kind of our first time out here of the day here, I want to talk about Bubba Wallace real quick here. This the most making history, and I wish he would have won the race yesterday, to be honest. Bubba Wallace getting the job done, staying out of trouble for the most part, and he was racy all day long and making a little history himself, becoming the highest African American to finish high In the top five, in the 500, finishing in the second spot. And he was overcome of emotion when mom appeared, and I believe his sister appeared in the media center after this race. That was great, man. That's all I gotta say. That was awesome. And seeing pretty much his personality come out in that whole entire press conference there with Bubba Wallace, he's gonna be something. And I've been really harping on him the last few episodes. And yes, he's up there with Truex. I mentioned this. He's up there with Truex. It's one of my favorite guys, that favorite NASCAR drivers now. And I really like this guy, man. He's going to be making some noise. And I'm hoping this carries over to Atlanta. Yes, that's the big question, because this 43 car with Almirola didn't do much in the past, what, 5 or 6 years that Eric was in this car. I'm definitely going to be interested to see what Bubba can turn around and do here going forward. We got real racing now, as we all like to call now. The real racing starts this week. I'm interested to see how that team, Drew Blickenstrucker, do with this car going forward, and how they take this momentum here to Atlanta. It's a whole nother beast. Even Bubba said he don't know what he has for next weekend. Rightfully so. Big unknown. It's new for that team, but a hell of a good start. Finishing second, staying out of trouble, and holding off Denny Hamlin in this mix that pretty much everyone, the Fox broadcast group, pretty much gave the trophy to. Jeff Gordon calling out Denny Hamlin, saying, oh, he's got this. Didn't turn out to be that. Almirola had other ideas late in this race. And it's just another wild event. The 500, a lot of things going on. And not only that, with Dillon finishing first, and Bubba Wallace finishing in the second spot. The 3 and the 43 were scored at the top of the pylon. Dale Senior, Richard Petty. Man, Richard Petty's got to be ecstatic, which he probably was. Indeed, he's been ecstatic all week long. Wallace has had a tremendous speed weeks. And no question, no questions asked, that this is a big jolt moving forward. And Bubba Wallace, I didn't know that he got... I saw a tweet from Lewis Hamilton to Bubba Wallace before the 500, but I did not know that Hank Aaron got in contact with him as well. Of course, Hank Aaron, a name known associated with the Atlanta Braves, again, coming back to me, being a Braves fan from Georgia, but... Awesome, man. That's all I gotta say, man. He deserves everything, especially the jip that he got robbed last year. Let's get things for one thing. He got robbed last year with Roush Racing, the way he was in playoff position before sponsorship went down, whatever happened, and he got robbed. And the way that he bounced back last year with that thriller at Michigan in the Truck Series, and then coming back right here having a tremendous 2 weeks at Speed Week, so hopefully that's a sign of good things to come for this 43 and for Bubba as well. I mentioned Denny Hamlin. Denny Hamlin came also close to winning another 500, but he got shuffled not too far back, and he comes home in the third spot. And good start. As always, we talk about championship aspirations for Denny Hamlin. It seems like every year, because right now he's probably, if not the best driver, not having a championship in his back pocket just yet. And I'm going to spend a few minutes before taking our intermission break talking about the man, Bubba Wallace's best friend, Ryan Blaney. Man, Blaney was stout in his Penske Ford. And man, he has been awfully strong, as well as the Penske guys, all speed weeks long. But for Blaney, heartbreak hotel hit him. Leading 114 laps, not only that, but being in position to win. As I said, the William Byron caution changed everything last night. That changed the complexion of the 500. Blaney was sitting right there with 14 laps to go, having Truex in his back pocket. Truex conceded running back behind Blaney, saying, we're going to ride because we ain't got nothing for that 12. And awfully so, nobody had anything for the 12 all day long. Strong. And then, like Tony Stewart in 2005, he led 100 laps. And he wrecked out Kurt Busch. And then Blaney doesn't wreck, but he caused one of the Blade big ones. And that was the last final big one of the night, where he tried to make a move. And he was shuffled out 3 wide at one point. And then Kurt Busch was a part of it as well, along with a couple other drivers as well. Man, and Blaney, he looked disappointed as well after a race. And to have that kind of strong car and seeing that 12 up front, not surprisingly, consider the fact that you knew going into the season that moving next door, Ryan Blaney is going to have a chance to be a lot more competitive than he was, in my opinion, he was at with the Wood Brothers. That was a fast race car that he made it, but that was a little inconsistent at times. Fast sometimes, inconsistent at times, but with this number and with this Penske organization that Ryan Blaney has been with, he's been awfully fast, and this is not surprising to me to see him. And really, we saw Bernard Menard up there as well, so it was really weird to see that combination up there as well yesterday, seeing Blaney up front with his new team. Shouldn't say his new team, but with his home team now, the Penske Racing, and Menard from RCR to the Wood Brothers. And even though Paul Menard finished in the top 10 yesterday, was huge for him with his first race for Wood, for the Wood Brothers. He's got to be pretty kind of sick to his stomach. Being at RCR for 6 years, Richard Childress Racing, Richard Childress himself, the offseason that he went through, happiness in the Childress clan as his grandson goes to victory lane. Not only that, but puts the 3 back in victory lane at Daytona. That has to be had to be happy for those guys. But the finish was definitely disappointing. That should have been a different way. But hey, I'm not in the car seat, so I don't know what's going on, right? So, but a lot of things. But Blaney himself. So if this is a sign of things to come, we're gonna see this 12 up front here. All regular season long, it's just one race. As somebody told me yesterday, after I was kind of disappointed and upset about the finish, it's a long season, and a lot can still happen, so we'll see. And if I were to record this last night, I would have been throwing a lot of cuss words, I'll just be honest, but, you know, taking some time to calm down a little bit, still a little tick, still pissed off about the finish. But a lot of guys in here in this top 10, you got to be ecstatic for. And we're going to go over that top 10 here. We come out of this timeout here. We're going to take that timeout right now. And we're going to bounce around and talk some other drivers as well. A lot of stories coming out of this 500. And of course, the full field finish rundown of the finishers of the 60th annual of the Daytona 500. Austin Dillon putting the 3 car back in victory lane. When we come back out of the intermission, first intermission, we will go around the horn to find out what happened to the other drivers in just a moment. And Danica Patrick, quite fitting, right? NASCAR career in a crash. You're listening to EG3 Show. We'll be right back. Show rolls along. Eddie Gritter III here for the Reaction Podcast. Reaction to the Daytona 500. Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, Xfinity Series, Cable Road Truck Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. Yes, talked about Austin Dillon, obviously the finish. Everyone's still talking about that, how that went down as well. And of course, I mentioned Danica Patrick. Danica Patrick was involved in one of the big wrecks yesterday, ending her NASCAR career, but she still has one more race in her so-called quote-unquote Danica double here later on in May with Ed Carpenter for the Indianapolis 500. I think she's going to be more of a factor in that race there, but unfortunately for her, like pretty much 90% of her NASCAR career ends in a thud, in a crash involving Chase Elliott, Brad Keselowski, and a couple others. Harvick was in that as well. And this racing, this stage racing has really amped up, at least when it comes to plate racing, the way that these drivers act. And it's been going on now for almost a year and a quarter now that we have seen this, and especially last year, we saw a lot of activity, especially winding down to the end of these stages on how these drivers act. And we saw action from the green flag up until Ryan Blaney was holding down the show there in the latter part of this race. And then, of course, the end where everything just went kind of bonsai there. And then Austin Dillon, we know obviously by now on the podcast, I talked about it, but we saw big names go out early, that which was the cap equalizer for some of these guys that we don't hear on a weekly basis. I talk about this every time on the podcast. We hear some known names come up in the mix on plate races and have stellar runs. And yesterday we saw Brendan Gaughan, Matt DiBenedetto. DiBenedetto was in the top five for probably a good while in the second half of the race. Gaughan was in the mix as well. McDowell, he was involved in one of those wrecks, and somehow he was battled back to finish in the top 10 as well. I see Justin Marks in there as well. And then the JTG Doherty boys getting it done as well. Chris Buescher was up there battling up in the final laps. And Allmendinger. I talked about AJ Allmendinger on a preview show. Watch out for him. And so it is. Allmendinger was a factor as well. So again, a good start to the season for those guys as well. But we saw a lot of heavy hitters in here. And I'm kind of bounce around this finishing lineup from the Daytona 500 last night. Let's name off the big names, shall we? I'm going to start from shotgun here. I can pull it up here. Corey LaJoie finished shotgun through the field. Ty Dillon was involved in a wreck. Jimmy Johnson scored a hat trick yesterday. Didn't finish crap during speed weeks. So very, very, at least for what Jimmy Johnson was hoping for, a better start after coming off a groundhog year. Even though with the three wins, Jimmy Johnson scored the hat trick as far as crash is concerned, was involved in another one, and that was the first one. Daniel Suarez finished 37th. Eric Jones, those guys right there were part of the first accident, and it came on the last lap of the stage right there, or second to last lap of the stage at Daytona. So that was that. And then, of course, I mentioned Daniel Patrick finished 35th in our final NASCAR race. And then Kasey Kahne, Chase Elliott, the favorite, quote-unquote, Keselowski, Harvick, Reagan, finishes 30th through 35th, I just mentioned. Harvick did not finish. He's a former 500 winner. But yes, Keselowski, everyone wanted to know, could he do it again, go to the back of the pack? And it was thwarted by when Chase Elliott actually started with Keselowski having a run just like Austin Dillon did at the end of this race to try to make a move before Chase Elliott just went on and blocked him. And Chase Elliott paid the price, hit the wall, and he was done as well. So again, Chase Elliott had a car winning. I had him pick to win in my fantasy lineup there, and that did not happen at all. So there, that's all she wrote on that note there. Of course, Ricky Stenhouse, Ricky Stenhouse should have wrecked in the first stage. There, I thought he was going to be turned around. That could have set off a huge reaction for sure if he turned it around. But Stenhouse, he didn't finish at all. And then you go up here, Brendan Gaughan, he was pissed off, not happy with the way his night turned out. Finished 28th, DiBenedetto. Excuse me, 27th. Kurt Busch, last year's 500 champ, finished 26th. Kyle Busch had a terrible afternoon all across the board with tire issues and whatnot. Finished in 25th spot. DJ Kennington, 24th. Byron's caution changed everything, and Byron had a rough afternoon in his first 500. 23rd, Mark Thompson, 22nd, Jeffrey Earnhardt, 21st, Greg Gowdy, 20th, Kyle Larson, nowhere to be found all day long after being such a factor in the Xfinity Series. Kyle Larson had come close to the front, finished in the 19th position. Martin Truex Jr. opens up his title defense in the 18th. position. He missed some close calls. His day should have finished earlier than what it should have. And a lot of those Fox guys, they're talking a lot about Trevor Bayne missing. They should have talked more about Truex. And Chris Myers had the nerve to say he was involved in one of the wrecks that he, it only was, the damage was minimal at that time. So he was still a factor. After all that said with Chris Myers, Truex went out there and still, even though that team did not have the handling that it needed for speed weeks, that team was still in position to get a top, to be a factor for the 500, even though he conceded to run there before William Byron changed everything. Alex Bowman, the pole sitter, finished 17th. Mick Murray finished 16th. And I usually call Jimmy Murray the wild man in this case, especially he is, Jimmy Murray is wild man 2.0. And I'm going to tell you why here in a second. I'm getting up to the top 10 here. McMurray, 16th. Bowyer, 15th. David Gillen finished in the 14th spot. Trevor Bayne, 13th. And yes, Bayne had his adventures. Try to avoid those as well. Justin Marks, 12th. Eric Almirola, the heartbroken Almirola, finished in the 11th spot. Now your top 10. Allmendinger finished 10th. Michael McDowell finished in the ninth spot. How about that for his new team as well? Ryan Newman finished 8th. Ryan Blaney. Alright, so if McMurray is 2.0 Wildman 2.0, then Ryan Blaney is 3.0 Wildman, because he was being awfully aggressive up front. And even though once he got there, once he got away from the front, man, he was trying to do everything to try to get up there, including stay three wide and try to sidetrack all people. But that didn't work out so well for Blaney. And I had this up here before the computer went back the other way. There we go. So Blaney, though, finished 7th. Paul Menard, 6th. Chris Buescher ended up finishing in the 5th spot. Logano, 4th. And I talked about the three finish in the first segment with Austin Dillon, Bubba, and Denny Hamlin, 1, 2, 3, in that aspect. That's your full field rundown from the 60th annual Daytona 500. There's not a lot I can say that, Dan, wow. It's not, it's one thing, it's not another thing. I got to tell you, boy, this is the start of something else. So we'll see again on how this affects, you know, especially with RCR going down there. And I have RCR in my rundown, and with good reason, because it's 3-31. And I pretty much talked about this a lot in the offseason, how, you know, with the new changes, RCR is trying, you know, they, for the last 8 years, 8 to 10 years, they've had a three-car operation. And at one point, they had Harvick, Jeff Burton, and Clint Bowyer at one point on their team. Now, the last several years, we've seen Paul Menard, Ryan Newman, and Austin Dillon haven't done much. And last year, we finally saw Dillon get the victory lane and Ryan Newman break his long winless drought at Phoenix. Now, this year already, Austin Dillon already cashes in his ticket to the playoffs. And I'm going to be very interested, again, to see what this three team does here the next several weeks. Because watch out for that five. You know, there's a Super Bowl hangover in a bad way. Well, the Daytona 500 hangover. We're going to see what this team does here starting next week in Atlanta. This week in Atlanta. But RCR, for good reason, Andy Petrie is determined to turn this thing around. And it's pretty much a good start for this team. Of course, Andy Petrie took over late in the postseason a few months ago. So they're trying to rebuild this program to the point where they can be competitive. And not only just that, be up here for race wins. And Ryan Newman was up there yesterday. We saw Bubba Wallace fight back. And Bubba was racy as well. That's what I like as well. Didn't back down from a thing yesterday. So that's what I'm excited about as well. So our kudos to Richard Childress for the moves that he's making and trying to have more moments like he did yesterday with a big old smile on his face. And no, I'm not going to take anything away from that as well. Much more deserved, but your grandson could have done it a little better. And could have won this a little bit, but even though if he didn't win, that was okay too. But the way that he won, didn't want it in the way that he took out a good guy. I mean, Eric Amarola didn't do anything to you, dude, big bro. But I have issues there. But Richard Childress, on the other end, I'm happy for you, man. And we could be seeing a little bit more of that. But time will tell as we're just scratching the surface on the 2018 season. And one more other nugget here before we take our final intermission break of the afternoon. You're listening to the EG3 show. So much I can talk about. Right, I could talk about this all day, but I ain't got that kind of time right now. Eddie Greer III here with you guys for the EG3 show. Thanks for tuning in today for the EG3 show. And oh, by the way, this will be going up tonight. So for those of you listening tonight, thank you for listening. As always, for the EG3 show, it's graciously appreciated. The Fox commercials weren't the last thing. So the Fox commercials. So the site that I was listening to on YouTube, the channel I was listening to, hit on this. That was bad. That was bad timing. NBC. I love the Fox broadcast. Over the NBC broadcast. But that was bad. That was awful. Yesterday. With the commercials. And how. Hey. It's less than 20 laps to go. Why can't we see the rest of the race? Huh? Come on now. Why can't we not see the rest of this race? We're going on too many commercial breaks. It's like 20 laps to go. Okay, we got to get another break. And then 3 laps later, let's take another break while we're getting down to the nitty-gritty of who's going to win the 500. This might get exciting. We're gonna miss it because we're going on all these commercials. I mean, come on, Fox. Man, I love you guys, but that was awful timing. I'm sorry. That many handful of laps left, you could at least go side by side. But no, we got to pay these our guys to get our spots in here before we turn it back on to see what happens. NBC at least hits it side by side. And then once it's close to the top of the hour, they go to commercial breaks. I understand that. That was bad timing on their part, and I'm sorry. That was awful timing on Fox's part. Why do you go on commercial break when we're about to settle who's going to win a Daytona 500? This is the Super Bowl of all of NASCAR. I mean, we could at least go side by side to see the action, but we have to go and see a couple of commercials. Especially for the Daytona 500, which were pretty good, by the way, yesterday. Nothing wrong with that, but the timing. I'm just critical about the timing of these commercials, especially late, were pretty much uncalled for. It should have been side by side, and I'm sorry, thought they should have did a better job, or at least better timing on that. But it is what it is. We got to see everything, but Fox, get it together. Have a different plan instead of shutting the world, the nation out of potential excitement. You got us looking at commercials. Get it together, Fox. Get it together. All right, folks. Time to take our final intermission break here on the EG3 show. And when we come back, we're going to switch gears and talk just a little bit with the Xfinity Series race. And that was the appropriate finish of what the race should have been yesterday. I would have been much more happy with that. Instead, we got Austin Dillon wrecking somebody for another win in his Cup season career. But switching gears, we're going to switch gears real quick to the Xfinity Series. When we come back after this quick intermission timeout, you're listening to the EG3 show. We'll be back after this timeout. We'll be right back.
I get to the white flag. Tyler Reddick's been in this situation before. Next flag ends the race, whether it's the checkered or the caution.
This is when you drive the lap of your life to get a trophy at Daytona. Oh, Tyler's getting really far in front. Elliott Sadler's going to lag back and get a big run here, but we also got the 11 and 24 forming up behind.
Here comes one back.
Kaz Grala.
He's getting help. Coming near Beer.
Elliott's going to get position on him.
What's that 11 going to do? Ryan Truex, look to the high side. Reddick still out front. Here comes the 16 of Ryan Reed.
Oh, this is going to be a photo finish, guys. We're going to bring this one right down to the line.
Coming off of turn four. High side of the white car is Reddick. Trying to get his second career win of the season opener at Daytona. But to the inside, it's Elliott Sadler. A photo finish.
Tyler Reddick's going to edge him out.
And Tyler Reddick at the line pulls it off.
At the buzzer, Tyler Reddick, ET3 show. My name is Eddie Greer III. Coming to you on this Monday afternoon, early afternoon now, following the day after Daytona 500, the EG3 show. For those of you just tuning in, the world of NASCAR, Cable World Truck Series, Xfinity Series, Monster Energy, NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. And yes, I've talked quite a bit today because there's just a lot I could talk about. But again, I don't have that kind of time. But man, this finish right here on Saturday afternoon, this was crazy. After five overtimes, Tyler Reddick gets it done at the buzzer with no margin to bear. None at all. Four zeros, the closest finish ever in NASCAR, period. Over teammate Elliott Sadler. And the heartbreak theme continues for the one car. It seems almost to me the heartbreak theme has transferred over from Homestead to Daytona. And for Sadler, still ain't got the victory lane in over a year. So there is that. And Tyler Reddick for Junior Motorsports hands Dale Earnhardt Jr. another win at Daytona. So again, the Earnhardt factor is still alive and kicking here at Daytona. Tyler Reddick, and he was involved in one of the wrecks, and he somehow came back and was battling for the lead when it came down to the nitty gritty. So this is the finish that we're wanting to see from last night's Daytona 500. We didn't get that. Instead, we have a driver dumping another driver for a win at cost. So there's that. But this was a great finish. I enjoyed this finish more than I did the 500 finish, if you can believe that. But Tyler Reddick, Junior Motorsports 1-2, but Sadler, again, looks devastated yet again after another race. Elliott Sadler can't catch a break, ladies and gentlemen. He cannot catch a break in these races, but finishes in the second spot, top 10 real quick. Ryan Reed had an eventful day. Mr. Daytona in the Xfinity Series was in contention to try to get three in a row, fall short, but he finishes third. Kaz Grala, who won Daytona last year in the Cable World Truck Series, he came around and finished fourth. Great job for Kaz. Garrett Smithley, fifth. How about that? Spencer Gallagher, sixth. How about old boy Ryan Truex in the seventh spot? Shannon Spake, Ryan Truex Jr. It's not Jr. That's all I got to say there, folks. Ryan Truex in the seventh spot playing some games there on Twitter. She said Truex Jr. on the Xfinity podcast. I missed it the first time. I caught it the second time. I didn't know she said it another time in the podcast. But Ryan Truex, great start for Colleague Racing. That was the name that I was looking for on the last podcast, and somehow it just didn't come out of my mouth. Colleague Racing, great start for Ryan Truex. Could be some big things for little Truex. Daniel Suarez finished 8th, Ross Chastain 9th, and Brandon Jones rounds out the top 10. And happy for Brandon for himself, because he been through a lot with RCR last year, and it didn't start off well. It didn't look out promising for Brandon Jones, but that's why you keep battling in these races are so long, including the 400 milers. But Brandon Jones with his new team, JGR, coming home in the 10th position. Some notables here. Some Xfinity notables real quick. Christopher Bell exited out early. The truck champion. Rough start for him, but he's going to his favorite track here this week in Atlanta. Excited to see what he's going to do. But Bell, 39th in the rundown. Justin Allgaier, 31st. Daniel Hemric had a strong 21 RCR machine. Finished 26th. And going down the list here, Josh Williams. Shout out to him, finishing the 22nd spot. Matt Tiff, come home in 19th. Cole Custer in the 14th position. That's your Xfinity Series recap from Daytona. And all the series this week will be in Atlanta, Georgia, my home state, for their triple header weekend this week. And I have a preview of that later on this week, right here on the EG3 show. Man, been great to talk Daytona here after what we saw here over the weekend down at Daytona. The next stop for all three series in the Peach State of Georgia. And of course, for those of you who missed the last podcast, it's still on our Auto Boom. Go back to catch previous episodes, SoundCloud, Spotify, and we're working on possibly another podcast website podcast deal here soon. But Johnny Sauter winning the season opener in the truck series again at Daytona. So that's another podcast. That was the last podcast, so just recapping that a little bit. So it's time now for my fame EG3 helmet stickers of the week. And they're going to go, first off, we're going to start in the Monster Energy Cup side of things. And of course, definitely not happy the way that Austin Dillon won the 500 on how he did it, for sure. Definitely not a fan of that. And kind of put off a little bit by his little cockiness. But hey, I'm going to give it to him. One of my EG3 helmet stickers, due to the fact that, yes, he put the 3 back in the Daytona victory lane. So there is reason for that. But Bubba Wallace, EG3 helmet sticker. Chris Buescher, EG3 helmet sticker. And my last one for the cup side, Michael McDowell, EG3 helmet sticker of the week. And then for the Xfinity Series side, Tyler Reddick, EG3 helmet sticker. For him, Cass Gralla, EG3 helmet sticker. And my final one of the day goes to Garrett Smithley. Say it with me, EG3 helmet sticker of the week. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my famous EG3 helmet stickers of the weekend. Austin Dillon, Bubba Wallace, Chris Buescher, Michael McDowell, Tyler Reddick, Cass Gralla, and Garrett Smithley. And usually I give 3 per division, but since Austin Dillon put the 3 in victory lane, that's why I gave it to him. I added an extra one and gave another one to Michael McDowell. How about that extra credit right there, folks? So that's your EG3 helmet stickers of the week. EG3 show rolls along, headed towards the end of the reaction podcast of the 500 numbers of the week. And we're going to go with 4 zeros. 0.000. I'm sorry. Daytona Xfinity Series race, the closest finish in NASCAR to date, took over Kurt Busch and Ricky Craven's wild duel down to the finish at Daytona in the 90s, somewhere in there. Not gonna be specific right now, but wow. Reddick, Sadler put on a show in the last 150 feet of the Xfinity Series race. 100, and I failed to mention this in the last podcast, so I'm going to say it right there. Xfinity, it was the 100th race for the name Xfinity for the AAA of all NASCAR. The Xfinity Series celebrated 100 races at Daytona, and what better way to do that by seeing the closest finish of all of NASCAR? We're going to end it with that. Numbers of the week, 1 triple digits for Xfinity. Congratulations, shout out to the Xfinity Series for that. Wow. Unbelievable finish. That's your numbers of the week right here on the EG3 show. And if you have any questions or any comments, it's going to be put up here this afternoon or later this evening at some point. You can write a comment to the EG3 show. Once we have that posted up, you can submit your questions to me, Eddie Greer, right on that page, facebook.com/EG3show. I'll have a special question status right there. If you have any questions surrounding Daytona, you can post them up right there. Or if you have any questions about the podcast or any comments, leave it right there on our Facebook page, and I'll probably select one of those to be answered on the next episode of the EG3 show. So there we go. There we're gonna try to work in a new segment on that. We're gonna work on that a little bit. And of course, the EG3 show, you find it on Audioboom. Also, previous episodes, find it on Audioboom. Also, go on, check it out on Spotify as well. If you got time during the day, hook it up. And of course, I'll get this loaded tonight on SoundCloud as well. So definitely check it out. And like I said a few minutes ago, we're working on possibly getting another podcast station associated with the EG3 show. Spread it out. If you're happy listening to the podcast, the EG3 show, share it with your NASCAR friends. Tell your friends about it. Join the movement. That's the slogan this year. That's my slogan this year on the EG3 show. Join the movement. Spread the word about this podcast right here. And definitely, we're going to keep this thing rolling. All right, folks? So definitely, join the movement. Get on it. Audioboom, Spotify, SoundCloud. And we're working to get more Apple Podcasts for the EG3 show. Man, it's been fun talking Daytona. So there's your plug-in. And, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap it for the EG3 show here this afternoon. Thank you for tuning in. Eddie Greer III, as always, for the EG3 show, saying thank you for listening to the reaction podcast of the Daytona 500. Wow, just another chapter in the books to this famous Super Bowl race of all of NASCAR, Daytona 500. Austin Dillon with a dump and run move to win the 500 to put the 3 car back in victory lane. Gotta call it like it is, man. Hey, can't dance around it. You gotta call it like it is. I call it like it is always right here on the EG3 show. We are signing out. Hey, we will be back at some point. We'll talk to you guys sometime this week. Until then, EG3, hey, we rolling out.